In the lead up to Halloween, take a journey with me as we go down the winding cobble streets and closes of old Edinburgh as we discuss the spooky, the gruesome, and horrific tales that plagued the city. Episode 2, Burke and Hare.
Let me take you to Edinburgh in the 1800s, a city that was revolutionary in its time. The first city to have tenement buildings, by that I mean flats built on top of each other, where the rich would live at the top and the poor would live at the bottom. The reason the poor would live at the bottom is because people used to throw their waste out of their windows. And as they did that, they would scream "Gardy Low," and the waste would go plummeting down to the streets, and the "Gardy Low" was to warn anybody that was walking past that they didn't get covered in human excrement, dirty water, and just muck. So the rich would have to walk through all this to get to their house, and they would walk up the stairs to get to the very, very top. The buildings were so tall and they were made of wood that they would bend, and they would actually be able to shake hands with their neighbours across the street because the buildings would arch in such a way. But of course, with the darkness that the buildings would create by blocking out the sunlight, it meant that the streets were very, very dark and gloomy, lit only by oil lamps. And in some poor people's houses, the oil lamps were lit with fish oil, which meant the stench coming from the houses was just astronomical. But at this time, Edinburgh was the European centre for anatomical research at the Edinburgh Medical School. But the problem that they were having was that the corpses were in shortfall, which meant that people weren't dying fast enough to be taken to the medical school to be dissected. The thing is, in that time, people would die all the time, but Scottish law stated that the medical school could only use the bodies of prisoners, people who had committed suicide, the bodies of foundlings, which are children who were left at convents by their parents, or orphans. These were the only people that, by Scottish law, the medical school could actually use. Now, of course, these people weren't dying fast enough, and as a result came a horrendous spree of body snatching, which is basically when someone breaks into a cemetery, digs up a grave and steals the body. Now, Edinburgh Council had noticed that a lot of these graves and Greyfriars graveyard had been dug up and the bodies had been missing, that they introduced something called a mort safe. Now, a mort safe is a large wrought iron gate that is put over a grave. This basically means that no one is able to access it. Many people in different cultures believe that they put these mort safes out to stop the dead from rising, so stop zombies or stop vampires. But in this case, it was to stop humans stealing bodies to take to medical research. Now, the bodies weren't very fresh, and that was the big problem. So by the time that they were getting the bodies, they had already started to rot and they weren't fresh, but they had to do what they could to be able to dissect the bodies to train the students. Two men saw a market where they could acquire bodies and gain money. That's right, I'm going to be telling you the tale of the infamous William Burke and William Hare, Edinburgh's most prolific serial killers. In 1828, William Hare owned a lodging house. That is somewhere where people could stay, like a B&B. While he was running the lodging house, he had a lodger stay with him who contracted an illness and died. William Hare got worried about this because he was concerned that it would turn people away, that people wouldn't want to come stay at the house. So he turned to his friend William Burke to ask for some help. And William Burke suggested that they take the body to one Dr. Knox and sell to medical research to make money. They did this and they got £7.10 for the body. This is about £430 in our money. The first victim was thought to be a man called Joseph. And that was in January of 1828. To kill Joseph, they used a pillow. Hare held the pillow down over his face, and Burke sat on his body. This was to stop the man struggling, stop him from moving so he couldn't take the pillow off his face. They sold the body of the man for £10 to Dr. Knox. That is a lot of money at that time, so they were already making quite a bit of money from the body. So they realized that there could have been a business in this, and they kept it going. The next victim is thought to be an Englishman who sold matches and tinder. He was visiting Edinburgh as he was selling his wares, and he was staying at Hare's lodging house. He grew ill while he was there, and they thought again it would be very bad for business. So they dispatched of him in exactly the same way as their first victim. They put a pillow over his face, Burke sat in his body, and they suffocated him. The next victim was an elderly woman called Abigail Simpson, who was visiting Edinburgh on 12th of February 1828. She was spending her pension she got from selling salt. She was enjoying her retirement, so she went up to Edinburgh to have a little bit of a holiday, get away from everything. So she stayed at the lodging house, at Hare's lodging house, and the pair took advantage of her and filled her with so much alcohol that she passed out, and that she didn't know which was right or left or anything, didn't really know what was going on, and the pair killed her, selling her body once again to Dr. Knox. And for this, they received again £10 for each of the bodies, for one for Joseph and the other for Abigail. Even Dr. Knox had commented on how fresh these bodies were and was kind of a bit curious as to why Burke and Hare were able to get these bodies so fresh, but he didn't question it because students were flooding through the doors to his dissection classes and he was raking it in. In early March, Margaret Hare, William Hare's wife, invited an elderly woman into the house for a drink. She got the woman so drunk that she fell asleep. And when Hare returned home, he smothered the woman with a mattress cover, and he and Burke sold the body for another £10. In April 1828, Burke met two women on a night out. He'd gone to the local tavern, he'd had a few drinks, and he bumped into these two women. He'd got chatting to one Mary Patterson and Janet Brown down in the Canongate area of the city. He bought them some drinks and invited them back to the lodgings for breakfast in the morning. They thought it was completely innocent. He was just being a nice guy. He had bought them drinks and invited them back for something to eat in the morning. They left the tavern with a bottle of whiskey and a bottle of wine, but they ended up at Burke's brother's house. They'd had a small party at the house, drinking, laughing, a little bit of music, and Mary fell asleep at the table. While Burke and Janet chatted all through the night, they were interrupted by Burke's wife, who accused the pair of having an affair. There was a large argument, and Burke just sat in the middle of it all, just lapping it up that these two women were fighting over him. Janet got so angry that she up and left, leaving Burke and his wife to it. Mary was still asleep at the table, and Burke took this opportunity to smother her and kill her, taking her body inside a tea chest to Dr. Knox for another £10. The body was still warm when it arrived at Dr. Knox, and Dr. Knox's assistant actually recognized the woman. And when he questioned Burke and Hare as to why they had the woman's body, he just said that they had bought it off an elderly woman down in the Canongate area because she had drunk herself to death, and the elderly woman didn't really know what to do, and Burke and Hare bought the body off her and brought her to Dr. Knox so they could make some more money. Obviously that was a lie. And when Janet was sniffing around to try and find out where her friend Mary had gone, they had told her that Mary had headed up to Glasgow to return back to her family, and that she wasn't seen again, and that they had finished off their conversation, and the next day she had hopped in a carriage and headed up to Glasgow. Later on in the year, in 1828, a stout old woman, as described by William Burke in his confession, stayed at the lodgings. After getting very, very drunk and falling asleep in the stables, Burke found her fast asleep in the hay. He smothered her, and he sold her body to Dr. Knox for another £10. Several months later, the woman's daughter came to Edinburgh looking for her mother. She was known as either Margaret or Peggy. She also stayed at Hare's lodgings. She and Burke drank together one night, were getting on really, really well. There was a little bit of flirting going on. And then, of course, the inevitable came and Burke killed her, and without Hare's assistance, and he was sold to Dr. Knox for £8. In May, another elderly woman was killed by Burke himself without Hare's knowledge and was sold for £10. So it seemed that Burke was going a bit on his own, being a bit of a rogue and killing people without telling Hare about it and actually getting all the money. The next murder was that of a woman known as Effie, who was a cinder gatherer, someone who would go around taking all the rubbish out of a bin and they would sell it. But she was known to Burke as she had sold him some leather scraps in the past. And that was, he said it was for a tanning business that he was starting. He was buying the scraps off her, so he knew of her. Again, he lured her in with the promise of drink and food. Because she was homeless, he wanted to give her some food and keep her warm. And then, of course, he smothered her. But this time, he was joined by his counterpart, and they received £10 for the body. The next victim was too drunk to get home by herself, and Burke noticed her being taken home by a constable. He said that he knew the woman and he would help her get home. Of course, he just took her to Hare's lodgings, where they both killed the woman and got £10 for the body. In June 1828, the duo killed two lodgers, an old woman and a dumb boy, her grandson, according to Burke in his confession. The grandmother was killed in the usual manner by having the pillow over her face with Burke lying on her body, while the boy sat in front of the fireplace. And when the boy was taken into the bedroom, they locked the door, laid him down on the bed, and they gave him whiskey to get him drunk. He didn't like whiskey, he was only a young boy, so he was able to kind of fight them off a little bit, but eventually they smothered him with a pillow and they sat on his body, killing him. And it was this one victim that Burke admitted, as he was confessing to the murders, that actually stuck with him, that stayed in his dreams. The gruesome image of this young boy looking back up at him gave him sleepless nights. He would drink more, and he became an opium addict because of the dreams that he was having of this young boy. But that didn't deter him, because the murders continued. As they took the bodies to Dr. Knox, the usual way they would transport them was inside of a tea chest, a large tea chest. But taking the two bodies, the tea chest was a bit too small, so they transported the bodies in a herring barrel. And to do this, they took the barrel and put it on the back of a cart and with a horse, and they rode the horse and cart through the city. As they got to the grass market area of the city, the horse stopped and refused to go anymore. Maybe because of the weight of the cart or the uneven cobbled ground, he just wasn't happy about carrying on. So to take the barrel to the anatomy school, they had to ask a passerby to help them with the barrel. They claimed that it was full of herring and water, that's why it was so heavy. The passerby was happy to help. They gave him a little bit of money to pay him for their help, so he managed to get the barrel to the anatomy school. He didn't really ask any questions. Hare was so angry at the horse when he got back to it that he shot it in the head right in the middle of the street and just left the horse there. No questions were asked about this. No one thought this was odd. On the 24th of June 1828, Burke and his wife went up to Falkirk to visit his wife's family. And in doing so, they had stopped the murders because they didn't think they needed a break from the horrific crimes that they were doing and had to go away on holiday. However, when they returned, Burke noticed that Hare was wearing some new clothes. He was looking a little bit more dapper than he did before they went away. And Burke discovered that Hare had been killing people while he was away. A large argument ensued between the two because this business was something they were in together and they didn't want to be killing people on their own. So this stopped them speaking for a few months and the killings just kind of stopped. They didn't really, nothing really materialized. No one suspected anything. They just ceased. However, in late September, the couple were speaking again, and Burke visited Hare. A washwoman was at the lodging house doing laundry, and the pair killed her, taking her body to Dr. Knox for £8. A few weeks after Burke and his wife returned, a relative came from Falkirk to come and see them. Again, she stayed at the lodging house. The pair killed her in exactly the same way they had done with all the other victims and took her body to Dr. Knox and received £10. Burke and Hare's next victim was a well-known person within the streets of Edinburgh. James Wilson was an 18-year-old man who had learning difficulties. He also had a limp because he had a bit of a club foot, and people knew him in the area and called him Daft Jamie. Now, while that's not a very nice name, mental illness and learning difficulties were not really something that people knew a lot about back then, so it was kind of looked down upon. But everyone knew that he didn't cause anybody any harm. One thing that James did was that he used to sell bakery items from the local bakery, and he would wander the streets banging a drum, telling people that he was about, and he was selling bread and cakes and, you know, different pastries, and people would come down and they would buy the pastries from him and they would send him on his way, and they all knew he was coming by the banging of his drum. Burke and Hare came across James and they lured him into the lodging house with promises of hot food and whiskey because James was homeless. However, James didn't like whiskey and he said to the men, "I don't like drinking, I don't like alcohol, what I do like is snuff." Snuff is a snortable tobacco, so it's similar to cocaine, but it's tobacco, and he absolutely loved the stuff. He was addicted to it. So Burke and Hare got him tipsy with wine and gave him more snuff, and of course he was a little bit out of it, but he wasn't out of it enough to be able to fight them off. And when they tried to smother him, he put up a hefty fight, punching Burke in the face and punching Hare. But eventually they were able to overthrow him and they killed him in exactly the same way they had done with everybody else. Now, when they sold the body to Dr. Knox and Dr. Knox had put the body on the table, a lot of the students had recognized this to be James Wilson and they started asking questions. Now, Knox was straight away able to deter the students by saying, "It's no one that you know, there's no way you could know this person." And when he removed the body from the table, he took it back into storage. But before he put it into the whiskey that he soaked the bodies in, he removed the head and removed the feet and dissected it before he put it in storage. So there was no way that anyone could know that it was Jamie. However, Burke and Hare's actions were uncovered by another lodger who discovered their last victim, one Margaret Doherty, and they went to the police. The police found that she had been suffocated. This was something that Burke and Hare had created, a way of killing people, and this was known as burking. And it's basically when you cover the nose and cover the mouth to suffocate someone, that is known as burking, named after William Burke. On Christmas Eve in 1828, the court case of Burke and Hare took place. Hare had been given immunity if he had handed over all the evidence to the king, which basically meant if you dob in Burke and say it's all him, you will be immune and we will not press charges against you. And of course, that's what he did. He told them that Burke was the instigator and it was his wife as well had done everything, that he had nothing to do with the murders. And of course, he got immunity. Burke was found guilty of the murder of Margaret Doherty and also of Jamie Wilson. There was all the other murders he was found guilty of as well as his wife. Hare was put in prison, but he avoided the death sentence and he was promised that he would be released. Upon his release, there was a riot outside in the streets and there was even a petition done by James Wilson's family to try and stop the release of Hare, but it didn't go through. Hare's wife was wandering the streets afterwards, after the court case, and she was set upon by a group of people who were very unhappy at the fact that she was being released as well, and she was taken into police custody and given a one-way trip back to Ireland. Burke's wife wanted to go and see Burke in prison, and as she was making her way to the police station, she was set upon by a mob, and the police took her into police custody for her own protection, and she wasn't allowed to see Burke. As Burke was handed the death sentence, the judge said to him, "Your body will be publicly dissected and anatomized, and I trust that if it is ever customary to preserve skeletons, yours will be preserved. In order to keep that posterity, may keep in your resemblance of your atrocious crimes." On January 28, 1829, William Burke was hanged in front of a crowd of 25,000 people. On February 1st, he was publicly dissected in the anatomy department of the Edinburgh University, where the surgeon, Dr. Munro, dipped his quill into Burke's body and wrote a letter in his blood, which read, "This is written in the blood of William Burke, who was hanged in Edinburgh. This blood is from his head." William Burke's skeleton was given to the Anatomical Museum of Edinburgh Medical School, where it still stands today. And this here ends the tale of William Burke and William Hare. Thanks very much for listening, guys, and join me in the next episode when we'll be delving into Edinburgh's dark past once again. Goodbye.